Isaiah just mentioned to me that the rest of the family weren't able to make it due to circumstance. My brain is foggy about their circumstance, but they weren't able to be here. And we're glad that you are here this evening as we think about spiritual things and as we consider the words of eternal life and the hymns that we are singing. And as I think about this hymn, If We Never Meet Again, we've talked about Albert Brumley hymns as far as I'll Fly Away, This World Is Not My Home. We talked about him before. He was a member of the Church of Christ. He wrote many hymns, and he wrote this hymn in 1945. It's been right around the end of World War II. Lived from 1905 to 1977. And as I think about the reason for the lesson this morning, as I was asked to speak at the funeral tomorrow, and Harry Osborne is going to be doing the main part of the service, but Jane Gay asked me to preach about Cindy's spiritual growth since she's been here, and that's when I immediately thought about learning obedience through suffering, and she certainly did in her life, even until the very end, that she was concerned about others and was thankful that she was able to pray for Bruce concerning his open heart surgery, and just had that joy until the end. And I thought about this hymn also as we think about our lives. And in this first stanza, soon we'll come to the end of life's journey, and perhaps we'll never meet anymore till we gather in heaven's bright city, far away on that beautiful shore. In James chapter 4, James says, by inspiration, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It's hard to comprehend that, especially when you're young. But as you grow older and older, and those who are older talk about the years just flying by. If you talk to Bill Moore, those who are older know Bill Moore, one of his expressions used over and over again is time marches on, and that's the truth. And soon we'll come to the ends of life's journey. And you think that, so, well, that doesn't fit with me because, you know, I'm only 10 or 15 or 18 or 20. And it's not the fact that we look upon our years and we think it's a long, long time. But, you know, consider in all of eternity that, as the scripture says here, we think about those who have passed on, and we consider that our recent losses, and we think about Arthur Brown, who was just a little less than a month ago, and Cindy Gay had just passed away a few days ago. And you think about the time that they were here, and it just didn't seem like it was very long. And the whole thing is that as we come here for services, and maybe sometimes we just take it for granted, we need to recognize that, you know, perhaps we'll never meet anymore. But the thing is, as we consider heaven in Revelation chapter 21, our author mentions the heaven's bright city, described as a city in Revelation 21, verse 23. The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And so, as we consider, maybe as you look upon cities, really interesting when you look at, you know, satellite photos, and you see, you know, lights all over the world, or maybe you're in an airplane, you're able to see the lights, or maybe from from Cindy's hotel room. You got a beautiful shot of downtown Dallas, and you see all the bright lights and how beautiful it is. And it's nothing compared to, as we think about describing in physical terms, about the brightness of heaven and on that beautiful shore. We only have a short time here upon earth, but we can look forward to that eternal life in heaven. While we can strengthen the saints while we're here, we can encourage one another towards love and towards good deeds. And that's why it's so important as we think about our services. This is a preparation as we think about, if you will, a foretaste of rapture to come, foretaste of our heavenly home. In the second stanza, oh, so often we're parted with sorrow. Benedictions often quicken our pain. But we never shall sorrow in heaven. God be with you till we meet again. We suffer losses. And as we consider, trying to find a good passage talking about sorrows as far as missing those, but the whole thing is in our life is that in 1 Peter 2, verse 19, this finds favor for the sake of conscience toward God. A person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. We're going to suffer unjustly, and there's going to be sorrows where it's going to seem like it's not fair with those who live apparently a short life. Cindy Gay only lived 49 years, and Arthur Brown 63, and we almost expect our 70 or 70 or 80 years, and we haven't promised that. The difficulty, as I was trying to consider, benedictions often quicken our pain. That might seem kind of like, how does that fit? Notice the contrast, but we never shall sorrow in heaven. And sometimes when you think about benedictions, talk about concerning good wishes, and sometimes when you're trying to help those who have lost a loved one and misuse Romans 8, verse 28, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose, or God took that person, and if it's a cancer situation, and sometimes it quickens, the idea is to make more rapid or accelerate or hasten. One of the definitions of quicken, we don't, in the King James Version, use quicken a lot, but sometimes as you look upon it, the things that we say might make it more painful reminders or make the pain worse, especially when it's so close. But the whole thing is we look upon the sorrows and we're parted with sorrows, and I know that you will and I will, as far as missing Arthur Brown and Cindy Gay, and spend a lot of time with both of them in the hospital. It's a really tough thing. But as you look upon our sorrow, we'll never sorrow in heaven. In Revelation 21, in Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21. Let's begin in verse 1. I know I'm going to emphasize verse 4. The Apostle John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Think about God wiping away every tear. Now, the whole thing is, thank for all those who are able to visit Cindy in the hospital. And the thing is, concerning in her presence, she didn't want any tears. She just wanted joyful things. And we sang Sing and Be Happy as we sang tonight to her as she was going out. And she was comforting her co-workers who were sadder than she was because she was ready. She was prepared. The whole thing is you look upon latter moments. I'm sure that there'll be tears while we're here upon this earth concerning those lost, those loved ones that we certainly miss. So I think about Betty's dad, Bobby, also. And the thing is concerning our lives, you know, the word goodbye originally came from the expression, God be with you. God be with you. Goodbye. God be with you till we meet again. Those are the last words I said to Cindy. Philippians 4, verse 9. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul said, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So we're not worried. We're praying verses 6 through 7. We know that the Lord is near. We know that we can have the peace that passes all understanding as we're thinking and considering on the things that are true and honorable, right and pure and lovely, things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And the thing is, the Apostle Paul, as he imitated Christ, he had a close relationship with the Philippian brethren. They would have seen what he had done in his life. And they knew that he was faithful, was not hypocritical. And he promised, you practice these things that I'm teaching you, and the God of peace will be with you. God be with you till we meet again, that we remember to serve the Lord and to recognize, no matter how painful it might be with those that we're separated from, that we think about heaven when we can be together forever in heaven with the saints of all the ages and praising God. In the third stanza, oh, they say we shall meet by the river where no storm clouds ever darken the sky. And they say we'll be happy in heaven in the wonderful, sweet by and by. Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. The Apostle John says by inspiration, he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. You think about different places on waters that are clear as crystal. Have you been able to see that? There was one time we went by the Bahamas, as when I was in the Navy on the submarine, we went by the Bahamas. What an incredible sight that was. What a beautiful thing. Clear as crystal. And again, trying to describe a heaven and using terms as physical human beings. And so we imagine those things and the peace and quiet, you know, by the river. What a wonderful thing. And we're, you know, continually in the season where we're concerned about storms. You know, there was a tornado warning the last hour or so. I think it was in Las Colinas, and obviously we had several of the tornadoes recently, about 18 tornadoes or so in the area. But there will be no storm clouds to darken the sky, and we'll be happy in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though you now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith be more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. I mean, you think and you contemplate about that, the happiest time that you could ever think about while you're here upon this earth. And it's a million times better than that, because we recognize it will only be joyful as we think about the outcome of the salvation of our souls in the wonderful, sweet by and by, where there will be no more suffering or funerals, sin or death to deal with any longer, only joy. In the chorus, I know it's a long in the chorus. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever and where separations come no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. Can you say that? If we never meet again this side of heaven, we're struggling through this world and its strife. And we think about the faithful who aren't struggling with this world and its strife any longer. We're struggling with it in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, the devil and the forces for evil are working behind the scenes, and we see the evidence of evil all around about us every day of our lives as we struggle through this world and its strife. The whole world lies under the power of the evil one in 1 John 5, verse 19. But Jesus Christ overcame him who had the power of devil. We mentioned that passage this morning, Hebrews 2 and verse 14. He was resurrected from the dead to sit at the right hand of God. And so we put on God's armor so we can stand firm against his schemes. We talked about the river of life in Revelation 22 in the next verse. Revelation 22. I'll go ahead and read verse 1 again. It's the middle of a sentence. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Think about the most precious fruit, and you think about the trees, and you think about the trees and the flowers, and you think about, obviously, this figurative expression that is used here, and you think about its beauty, where you think about the Garden of Eden, how beautiful that must have been when there was no sin until they gave in to that temptation, had to go out of the paradise. Now, as we consider Revelation chapter 2 and talk about overcoming this world and its strife, in Revelation 2 and verse 7, where John says by inspiration, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says of the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Paradise restored, if you will. Eternal life in heaven. And the separations that we face now will come no more. For in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, we do not want to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. When you think about as the Apostle Paul is speaking, as the others are speaking, they're speaking as the oracles of God. And God is true. He's righteous. He's holy. He's faithful. He's going to keep every single promise. So the Apostle Paul said, by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We ought to be comforted by those words. If we never meet again the side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. Are you on that road to heaven? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you been baptized for the remission of sins? If not, why are you waiting? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord as Saul had done in Acts 22, verse 16. Or if you need to be restored, God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.